Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. This is actually part two of an episode we shot with Joe Kinn, head strength coach for the Carolina Panthers. And as you that have watched the first episode, first part of this, know, Joe's doing a phenomenal job of sharing some great takeaways with all of us. And in typical Joe Kinn fashion, has gone past our time limit. And so we had to go ahead and make a part two of this. But wouldn't have it any other way. Every time that I talk with Joe, I learn a ton, and I know that the people that have watched part one and now part two will as well. If you've not watched part one, make sure you go back and you watch that. To put it in a little bit of context, you might want to watch that before you watch this one. But I know that you'll benefit from watching both. So I want to get right into it real quick. Want to give love to our sponsors, Play Sports Performance Flooring. You know, they're doing a fantastic job out there right now getting some big, big projects. One of the most recent here is at IMG Academy down with Lauren Seagrave with their new track, world-class track they're installing. And obviously making waves, making huge impact with the blue surface, IMG colors, and the whole deal. So lots of different things that they can do, whether it be track, field, or rubber flooring for your weight room. So if you're in the market for those kinds of things right now, make sure you reach out to them. Like I said, they do a fantastic job of being there for the strength coach. And I know that everybody that is listening to this would benefit from that. Also, want to talk about a little bit about Strength on Demand, the product that I recently released. It is an online archive of strength and conditioning presentations, clinic presentations from various clinics from around the country. Great speakers, all tons of great information, right at your fingertips with either your phone, tablet, computer, whatever it may be. And better yet, it's on your time. And you know, I created this product along with Rob Taylor because we were looking for something like this. You know, I'm constantly looking for ways to learn and continue my education, and really couldn't find anything that existed like this. So I wanted to make sure I provided it for other strength coaches. So make sure you check that out, Strength On Demand, strength-ondemand.com, and sit back and enjoy the rest of part two here with Joe Kinn. Way back when you wrote the book, and even now, you know, what I respect the most about it, the system, is that it's a template. It leaves room for, you know, your growth on what you learn and being able to move things in and out. It leaves room for situations where maybe a player doesn't want to do an exercise, can't do an exercise, a coach doesn't want you to do an exercise, you know. And it what I like about templates in general is that it allows you to stay true to yourself. You know, when all this cool stuff's coming out, and you see these new things, and you know, you got to go back to your template and you say, all right, where does that fit for me before you just throw something in? And I think that's where you mentioned young coaches. I think where a lot of young coaches can take that away to where, like you said, find what works for you. And then when you read all this stuff, go back to your system and see how that fits. And if it doesn't fit, then don't throw something in just to throw something in, or throw everything you did out with the bathwater, you know, just because you read something that was cool or unique or new or whatever. So I really respect that about you, you know, you and the tier system, and it's been able to stand multiple teams and multiple levels and the test of time here for a little bit. So it's a great program overall.
Yeah, I think you said, I mean, and that's the big thing. I think, Ronnie, you hit it. And again, that tells me that you were someone, when they read it for what it was. Telling you what exercise to put in. What I'm giving you is a framework that gives you the ability to take a little bit of pressure off your plate.
Yeah.
Now what you do with that, like I used to tell my guy, because when we were at Arizona State in particular, because especially when I oversaw the whole department, you were writing programs with the tier system template. If you got hired and you were a four-day person, guess what? You ain't 4 days no more.
That's right.
Don't take the job.
Yeah.
We were writing programs. But I don't care what exercises you choose, and I don't care what cycles you choose. But we're going to use the same terminology, because if you go on vacation or something happens and another coach, if you tell them that we're in the winter program, and we're doing maximal effort strength work. One, I know what year, what time of the year we're in, and what type of percentages you're using.
That's right.
You know, I don't care if you use the same cycle as me, but I know what percentage base we're in.
Yep.
Don't we? If we're gonna call it alternate leg split clean, you can't call it anything else, because if you go on vacation, I don't know what a split clean with a jump catch means.
Yeah.
You know, or something of that. So all the terminology was the same. The teaching progressions of the exercise were the same, but that was the artistic creation. Like when I give you your teams, here's the template. Now go run your teams.
Right.
is your chance to be the head strength coach. You know, like I thought one of the best guys who worked with me that did one of the best jobs I ever had was Ben Hilgert with Arizona State Track. I mean, our track coaches, throwers are different. They did some tier work, but their throw coach handled their workouts, and they've got one of the best throw coaches in the nation. They got one of the best throw programs in the nation, but they won 3 national championships, and Coach Kraft told Ben Hilgert he believed a lot of it had to do with the strength program, and he believed in the tier system. Every one of his coaches had to book.
That's great.
You know, we saw that with all. That's the other thing is, this isn't a football program. This is an athletic-based program.
I agree.
We use this with tennis, golf, volleyball. I mean, when I wrote it, I was the strength coach for the women's basketball and women's volleyball program at Boise State when I very, very first started, and then gymnastics. So I was working with those 3 sports predominantly before I even had a chance
to
my first football program. So, you know, those are things that people got to understand. Like, well, you're a football guy. Well, the program's an athletic program. I just happen to coach football players with it. And the truth is, I can't quote it, and I usually have a sticky note on my desk at work. You know, but it all comes back to what Dan John says. You know, lifting's easy. Let's not make it too hard. Squat, pull, press, carry, hinge.
Yep, 5 foundations. Yep.
And when you look at what we do, that's pretty much what we do. Well, every day, and that's the other thing. And like he says, if it's good enough if it's important, you do it every day.
Yep.
It's one of my. I didn't say it like this, but one of my things has always been, if most of the sports that we coach, in the collegiate level of the sports that are sponsored, are whole body, total body movements, why wouldn't we want to train like that? We all talk about this sport specificity bull crap, which I don't believe in.
Right.
I believe in transfer. I believe in demands. But if we're going to talk about that, then don't tell me training upper lower body split is sport specific.
Yeah.
Sport specific is training the whole body, like the demands that's going to happen on the practice of the game field. And again, I'm not here to tell anybody, you know, hey, house is dogging 4-day-a-week work. No, I'm not, because there's a lot of teams right now, and the team that's winning national titles, those dudes do a lot of 4-day-a-splits.
Yep.
I'm just saying that, but I don't hear them guys talking sports specificity either.
Sure.
It's the guys who tell me, oh, well, we're a sports-specific strength training program. Man, how are you doing that? And again, I look at it from justification of means. I look at it from fatigue factors.
I agree.
I look at it from just simple justifications of, you don't play with half your body when the ball snaps. You don't jump without using your arms.
That's right.
So why? And again, I mean, I can't say this enough either. We're human. If you know, and we'll just say you're a 300-pound lineman, or you're a 165-pound defensive back. The 300-pound lineman, if he knows he's got a major conditioning day and a lift day,
oh, he's choosing one.
He's picking one, and it's usually the lift.
That's right.
On the other hand, the little guy's going to pick the run and not worry about the lift. So my thing was, I'm going to make it real easy on him. I need him to have a great conditioning day.
Right.
Not lifting.
Right.
Our lifting, it's a joke, which are the blitzes.
Yep. Well, I think, you know, obviously, like I said, you're able to adapt in a smart system. You know, a couple quick things before we let you go. You know, give us a book recommendation outside of your books, obviously, but give me a book recommendation, something that you're reading right now that you think is really good, or Something that every strength coach should read.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I need to get back to reading a little bit more of the profession. I've kind of gotten out of that. I read little, probably more articles.
Sure.
And how they fit into my program specifically. And then I'd rather just listen to coaches. But I actually just got, because I'm big into this, I'm into my meathead mobility, I call it, for my guys. And for me, it's a combination of one of our players trains with a guy in Portland, Adapt Training, that does a really good job with mobility work. I've adapted some of that from him. I've created my own soft tissue work with golf ball, softball, lacrosse ball, and peanut that I work almost every part of my body. It saves you $70 a week getting a massage.
Right.
And I took some of the stuff that I learned from Martin hands-on, as well as from his latest book with all his mobility. So I just bought the, Supple Leopard?
Yes, yeah, Kelly Starrett's book.
Yeah, so I'm going to be the Supple Elephant. So that's it. That's actually in my knapsack for the trip. So that would be a book that I think, because here's the thing with these young guys too. And Scott Caulfield, I did an interview for NSCA, said, yep. What do you think? What would you want to tell guys who want to follow in your footsteps? I said, you don't want to follow in my footsteps, because, I mean, when I came up, it was strength.
Right.
And guess what, man?
It's not so much more.
Yeah, you're not. It's not a strength thing. I mean, if you can't move, you're in trouble. And I've learned that. And you know, Darrelletto and Brandon Marcello told me that in 2001 when the API was on ASU's campus and I just got hired, and I kind of flipped them the bird and go, man, we're banging weights over here. I'm rolling. And now my soft tissue meathead mobility program takes me longer to do than my weight programs do. And be honest with you, I can't do it. If I don't do it twice a week, I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
And my body's the way I want to train, I have to do it. The way I want to train, I can't really do two lifts back to back like I did today, but I really came through it, and I give credit to my mobility work.
Yeah.
And last night going out for a 40-minute walk in the trails just to kind of cool down and walk it off. But so that would be a book that I would recommend. I also would recommend those guys finding their own niche. Like again, Brian Dermody has so much value to a program, or guys like that. You know, I had Adam fight with me at Louisville and with the Panthers. That guy, again, another guy that I would put is the top guy when it came to nutrition and what he understood from a nutrition standpoint as a strength coach.
Sure.
You want to be that guy. I mean, you know, what? And there's so many things out there that make you valuable. Everybody's going to know how to write a strength program. So when I get 57 resumes, what's going to separate your resume? What is it going to be?
You got to bring something to the table.
Yeah, and nowadays, with as many different like modalities that are out there, pick one. Pick. Who cares what it is? Just try to make yourself have some type of uniqueness.
I agree.
I don't care what it is. Like, you know, my big thing is I think that we've done a better job as a profession in the last years now, or just go crazy with, but probably in what, the last 5 years, probably maybe even up to 10, we've done a better job with nutrition.
Yeah.
I think we've all gotten better with it. Again, we're still under the demands of someone else. The rules and regulations of the NCAA, who can afford what, and who can afford the types of meals that are proper versus improper. I think the big things now that I see, like, I'll tell you this right now, somebody who understands that catapult GPS stuff would have tremendous value to me.
No doubt.
Tremendous value.
No doubt.
And I think that stuff now is hitting college.
Yep.
So guess what? If you're a young strength coach, I'd be learning the catapult or whatever GPS systems are out there. I mean, that would be one that I would, you know, I think there's always going to be some type of I call it reconditioning, or I think, what was, man, what the hell did he call? Oh, Pat Ivey's got a great one. What do you call it? Transitional therapy. they're using at Missouri now. They're bringing a PT on to the performance staff.
Really?
I think that's what he called it. And I mean,
kind of a corrective exercise guy.
Yeah, he's the PT. He's the return to play guy.
Yeah. So
you got your basic rehab, then you got your sports performance coaches doing the strength stuff. Well, we still do a poor job in that transition.
Yep.
Be the transition guy.
Yeah, I agree.
I thought that because when I was studying systems and when I was at Boise State and was looking at the Nebraska system at that time, I believe Brian Bailey was the reconditioning coach for Boyd.
Yep.
So I had Cheyenne Petrie with me and Mark Uyama, and I made those guys the reconditioning guys. I had a woman, Christina DeSantis. Now she's married Sternberg. She did it for me at ASU. I always had somebody that you're that return to play.
Yep.
And Uwe to this day kills it.
He's a guy.
He's outrageous with it. It pays off. I mean, he's got, not only is he a great strength coach, but that is a great,
it's a great
that's
tool.
That's a great kick to have is you know rehab.
Well, you know, especially in the NFL, it's all about games lost, you know.
No question. You don't got to tell me.
that's what you mentioned earlier, what you're held accountable to. That's what you're held accountable to in the NFL.
Right or wrong.
Right or wrong, exactly.
You know, so it's – So the other, but I'm a big leadership stuff. Like I think a book that no one talks about that I really, really, really like that helped me make a job decision. Two books that helped me make job decisions, but I think it's Dan called The DNA of Success. Very few people know about that book. And the biggest thing that you'll get out of that book is this. There's one part, and it's about goal setting, and I've always thought this, and I believe this, and I say this. He said 80% of goals that are written down do not come to fruition. And I'm paraphrasing this wholly, but what he talks about is there's a difference between the mindset and the heart set. Just because you wrote it down and it's in your mind doesn't mean it's in your heart. And Right. That's why, to be honest, since that day, I never write goals down. Because really? If it ain't coming from my heart, it ain't getting done.
Yeah.
So that's one. And then there's one. I always say I'm one of the first, and I believe that to be true because I think I am. But I'm a big Lencioni guy. I've read all his books.
Five Dysfunctions.
Yeah. The biggest one, though, is, and this is a good one because this will teach you, is three signs of a miserable job.
Yeah.
Because that book there, I'll be honest with you, I read that book, and that book had a couple of points in it that made my decision. I had a lot more comfort leaving Arizona State to go to Louisville after reading that book.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he, and again, for meatheads like us, let me tell you why I like Lencioni, because he writes it in a story.
It's a fable, yeah.
I mean, you read some of those books, and I've read a lot of them. I don't have my library here. But those two books, I mean, a good book for an up-and-coming head strength coach is Death by Meeting.
Yeah,
because that's
good.
Too many people meet to meet. I don't meet. When we meet, we're getting something done.
Right.
I don't meet to meet. I hate being in meetings just to say we did a meeting every day.
No doubt.
Got nothing to say. If you got a good staff, you shouldn't have to meet every single day.
I know what the responsibilities are.
I mean, we'll do during the off season, especially at this level, every day we do a recap. I call it our huddle, it's like a 5-minute recap of the day, and maybe you gotta talk a little bit about setup for the next day if there's any changes or if anything else. But as so far as sitting down and having full-blown staff meetings. First of all, we're lifting weights.
Right, yeah.
And unlike sport coaches, the great thing about our programming is it's long-term for the most part. We're writing 2-week, 1-week, 2-week, 3-week, 4-week, 8-week programs. It's not like every day something changes. I mean,
right.
You're writing a plan to try to get to a specific point. So it's not like, well, we're going to have to – if you're changing that much, it goes back to what we said before. your results probably are not going to be
sure
the type of results you're looking for. So those would be those two books I like. And again, I'll tell you a book I just read that I liked. I liked 11 Rings.
Yeah, I read that too.
I just bought a book. I've gotten big into this bull crap mental toughness, how mat drills get you mentally toughened. Pat Ivey is doing some tremendous work.
Agreed, yeah.
PhD on the real, this whole mental toughness in you, you know. And I just bought the book when I bought the Supple Leopard book. It's called Toughness by Jay Billis. And I was just reading some of the...
Is that the bat? You
know, the basketball player that's the analyst now?
Yeah.
But he's talking about... I think just by reading the back flap, it seems like it's leaning more towards the stuff that Pat Ivey's starting to talk about.
Okay.
Some of his lectures about, you know, tough's tough.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but, you know, like I have a hard time with that. You know, we're going to get... You got to get him tougher. Well, how do you do that if a guy's not tough?
Yeah, no doubt. I agree 100%.
I believe they're street tough, football tough. I'm football tough. I'm not street tough. I don't think you want to take me into a bar fight. I'm not going to help you. I'm football tough. My dad's street tough. My oldest son, he's street tough. My youngest son, he's sport tough.
Right.
He's not afraid to mix it up. But at the end of the day, I don't think he'd help you in a fight.
Yeah, I hear you. I agree.
There's some bad dudes, man. There's some bad dudes that are just wicked that I call tough. Like rugby players, you can't not be an untough rugby player.
That's right.
And you got to be half crazy. MMA dudes?
Yeah, UFC guys, yeah.
I don't see that happen. Boxing, you take – I mean, I had done some mitt work and some bag work, and I got a really, really good coach. But I'm going to tell you what now. A couple of times when they've asked me to spar, you go into defense mode, brother.
Oh, no.
I might throw about 500 punches around, not when I'm sparring. I'm like this, man. And these dudes, the little dudes, too. I'm just like, yo, this dude's trying to take me out. I got to cover up. Like, throw a bomb at me, coach. Throw a bomb at me. I'm like, oh, brother, I'm just here for a workout. I ain't going in the ring with Tyson. Well, I think, you know, the other thing is with books is don't get caught up with too many.
No doubt, like, yeah.
I mean, and I understand that whole thing about, you know, people talk about read a book a month but you know what? These guys are getting too caught up in it. You're reading all these books, but you ain't doing nothing applicable with them.
Right.
So you read, and you know what? You don't live your life like that. Oh, I read you should do this. Then why ain't you doing it?
Right. Right.
Or one of the things, like I challenged the young strength coaches in Atlanta, read all the books you want. But when I ask you your opinion, I want your opinion.
Sure.
I don't want you saying, well, I read this book and so-and-so said this, or Louis said you should box squat like this, or, you know, Gail Hatch says this, or, you know, Leo Totten says that. I don't care. I can ask them what they want.
Right.
They think. What is your interpretation of it?
I agree 100%.
Like, I have my interpretation of the West Side Method. Those interpretations are the ones that I use in my program. Yeah. I don't use Louis' interpretation. I know Louis. I know Dave's. I know Jim Wendler's. I know a lot of guys' interpretation of the West Side.
Right.
I've taken what I needed from West Side and interpreted it and developed it into why I can believe it in my heart.
Right.
So that when I talk to my players, I can sincerely tell them why we do what we do and how we do it and what it does. Yes, where it's like, well, what would Louis say? I don't give a damn what Louis
neither
says.
Neither do they.
I don't know what you said.
Yeah.
I read the same books you do. Great. Did you read the 20 books I read to get to those books?
That's right.
I mean, all these kids now, all they talk about is whatever, however you want to call it. Undulated periodization, conjugated periodization. I call it, you know, concurrent sequencing. Whatever you want to call it. To me, none of that wouldn't have made sense if I didn't read Bompa in the 90s.
Right.
That's just my opinion.
Yep.
Because Tudor Bompa is standard periodization.
Yep.
You can't look at what I would call, and for lack of a better term, advanced periodization model without if you don't understand the basic periodization model.
I agree.
So those are things that, you know, you just gotta be really, really smart. A couple other things for the young coaches, and again, I use social media, especially because I was in the private sector. It's just, there's good and bad to it. Watch how you handle yourself promoting yourself.
Yep.
I think that there's a lot of good things out there, but there's a lot of things that people think they're good that coaches are like, that's bad.
Right.
You know, so you want to be, I don't have a problem with you promoting your programs. I don't. But how do you want to be perceived?
No doubt.
You know, I just think there's just certain things that, like, I ask myself a lot. Hey, I enjoy writing articles. I enjoy that stuff. But when I really look at it, my time's invested in coaching.
Right.
So when you tell me you're a coach, but you got 52, videos on YouTube in a week, and you've read 120 articles, and you wrote 4, do you sleep? Because I'm getting my 8 hours.
No doubt.
When at the end of the day, what are you in it for? I mean, I'm in it for the guys. I've learned this. A book that I'm reading now, too, I got caught up. I'm reading a book called Halftime. It's got a little bit of a Christian vibe to it, which, I don't, to each his own. Right. I'm reading it but it talks about getting into the second half of your life and not worrying so much about being successful, but being significant.
Right.
And it kind of falls into the things that I'm looking to do within the strength conditioning. Hey, success, in some ways, I don't control whether I'm successful or not. I hate to say it, but
true.
I don't.
That's true.
I have 10 other coaches and 63 players who determine if I'm successful because they're not evaluated on the measurables that we do in our – it's not like, okay, let's every team in college football or every team in the NFL, we need to see everybody's vertical jumps in 40 times, and you're going to get bonus points.
Right.
Their averages are better.
Right.
Or, hey, overtime is now 225 bench test. That's not occurring. So I look at it from that significance. How can you make a significant impact on what's going to happen, because that will lead to success. I mean, they don't interpret that way. That's how I interpret it. What can I do to make a significant impact first on my players? So that comes to, okay, I got to continue to research and evolve the tier system because that's in my heart. That's going to give my guys the best opportunity to improve their athleticism, put them in a chance to reduce their opportunities that injury may not occur for them, to give them the confidence that they're prepared, because if I can do that and make a significant impact there, they're going to be successful.
Right.
It all turns back around, and then success falls in your lap.
That's right.
That's where, you can't be selfish with programming. And I learned this a long time ago, because you start to learn these dudes ain't here to lift weights. They don't love it as much as you do. If you come to work every day thinking every one of your players is supposed to love lifting like you do, you're going to be miserable.
No doubt.
Miserable. No one loves lifting like I do. Even my players say, when I'm your age, I'm damn sure ain't going to be doing
that right.
Mornings. I'm like, well, you shouldn't have to. Hopefully I got guys who are like, hey, when I'm done, I'm just working for you, but I don't want you to pay me because I don't have to clean up the weight room. Come in and hang out. But, it's like, sometimes we get selfish. Well, this is my program. No, it's not. It's our program.
Right.
It's happened to be the guy who writes it. And that's the one thing that, I used to, I still say is you could call me king of weightlifting and the owner of the weight room. But at the end of the day, my clients are given to me by the head coach of that sport. And when you walk into that head coach's office, and it could be the head women's tennis coach to the head football coach, you work for them.
Right.
So whatever they want, whatever fancy titles we create for ourselves as strength coaches, when you walk into that head coach's office, you are an assistant to them. Now, I hated the term, you know, support staff. I'm sure you heard that.
Yeah, I can't stand it.
I said, you're right. And I used to go, oh, I don't support staff. I said, you know what? I used to tell him at the end of my tenure, I would tell him that you're right. I am the support staff. I support this whole damn athletic department because every friggin' kid comes through my room.
That's right.
They don't come through academics. They don't come through the training room. But every single kid will invest time in my room. So if you want to call me support staff, you need to call me the support staff.
Yeah.
Because that's what, if you're going to look at us that way, then you need to really recognize that, hey, we are. We're the foundation of the friggin' athletic department because we come in contact with everybody consistently. If you're a 4.0 student, are you going to the academics? Yeah, to get your schedules.
That's right.
If you're not hurt, you're not spending a lot of time in the training room. And if we're doing our job the best of our abilities and recruiting the right guys, there ain't going to be a lot of hurt people.
That's right.
So at the end of the day, I used to take it as a slap in the face. Now I'm like, you know what? You're right. I am the support staff. I support it all. And that's how you got to have some cocky and arrogance, but it's got to be humble. Like, I'm an arrogant, cocky dude. And early in my career, man, I showed it.
Right.
And I still have that arrogance and cockiness, but it's in a humbled sense because now I understand, like, hey, man, we've all gone through it. Win 10 games. Oh, man, that was the strength program.
Yeah, right.
Years later, we're 2-10. Oh, those football coaches don't know what they're doing.
That's right.
Man, we're all in it together, brother.
Well, I know with you, Joe, I mean, you know, I've been lucky enough to work with players that you've worked with. I've worked with coaches that you've mentored. And I've had a chance to get to know you through the years, and the one thing I do know about is you are a humble guy when it comes to giving back to a profession, giving back to coaches, giving to your players, giving to the people that work for you. Big hearted guy, and you've always made a ton of time for me, so I appreciate that, man. And I appreciate you coming on here. What other things you got going on this year that you want people to be able to check out? I know you said that you're working on the second edition of the book,
which I've been working on that for 5 years.
Yeah, no, there you go. They got one of those myself.
Yeah, but
what anything else you think that the guys should check out that you got in the works?
You know, I do apologize to a lot of my subscribers on bighousepower.com. We've not done a very good job, and that all starts with me, but my staff, we're working on some things. As you know, when you do a lot of video work, man, it's hard. The editing process is harder than you think to do even like a 5 to 10 minute, because you don't want to put in bull crap.
Right.
And, you know, so you're, what do you cut it? Then it's like, man, I can't leave that out. And I've got tons of tape that I could, if I could, I might not even edit it. I might just put it up and just let it be raw. And maybe that's the best way to do it. So people just see this is raw.
Yeah.
And then just put in a couple of title pages and an end and get it up there for the guys. But the one we're working on, that my wife who helps run it, we're probably gonna, we need to do like a site redesign to kind of spark it back up, let people know we're still there.
Yeah, I'm working on that myself too.
Blog stuff, probably we're going to probably start doing trying to do that. Like I may start posting all my workouts again on a blog, and then little quick hitters. I'm working with two high school. The big thing is right now is I'm trying to get. I have two high school coaches that have really bought into the Block Zero philosophy.
Yeah.
And they're doing it at their high schools. That we're going to bring on staff and have them fulfill some of the content for the Block Zero for our.
That's cool.
For our parent portal, as well as our coaching and professional members, because that. You know, I believe in long-term athletic development, maybe even slower cooking it than what I see some other people do, just because of the rush that we put people in with organized sport versus free play, and even to a point where not only do our athletes now have very little free play development, where they develop skills on their own and not robotically taught through programs at such an early age. I think too, and I'm reading an article in Popular Science, my wife read it, about a professor from MIT who actually got his doctorate at 20 where I don't know if we're doing an injustice or a justice to our kids as far as mentally free play.
Right.
When do kids nowadays just get to explore? Men, I mean, they're told what to do and how to do it, and when to be here. So where is the creativity? It'll be interesting to see from a creative process. And this would probably be more from art and sciences, not so much in the strength world, where some of the future lies in where our processes go from a creativity and from science and the things that. So there's some things with that I want to do a little bit of work on my own before I kind of come out with that. But the Block Zero stuff, I think, and the reason why I think it's a good point now is these high school strength coach jobs are not bad jobs.
No, not at all.
When we came up, there, I don't even know if there was one. If there was, it was you got $1,000 stipend because you were the assistant football coach or the head football coach. But, I mean, some of these dudes now are leaving colleges – and they're making decent wage, and they're getting 20 grand raises to go coach high school, and getting a good. And it's don't teach class.
Yeah,
I'm like, hey
not
man,
bad deal.
I mean, yeah, I'm not. I mean, there's other things like anything else. There's good and bad to any job, but it's there's a whole new with as many people who want to be strength coaches now, which shocks me where all these people came from. Because back when we were, you played football, you wound up, you like lifting weights, be a strength coach.
Right.
Now there's guys who are very good strength coaches who never played college sports.
Right.
I'm like, where'd you come from? I had two kids last year, our two interns here. Man, they did a great job. They didn't play college sports, and I think they can be really good strength coaches.
Yeah.
I'm like, where'd you come from? You know, I mean, I think if I'll be the first to tell you, playing college sport, I don't care what it is, brings a tremendous amount of credibility to you, especially if you played football and you work with football players.
I agree.
Other sports, it doesn't matter that much. Maybe a little bit of basketball nowadays. The throw coach to throw relationship, that's always going to be unique. But they're just something you know, like, you know, my intern here played for me at Arizona State. He understands.
Yeah.
The intern that we had for 11 weeks didn't play college sports. There were certain things he didn't get.
Right.
It wasn't his fault.
He's never experienced it.
He didn't get it. So that's our thing. You know, again, as we talk about it, and I believe in it, we as strength coaches have to look out for ourselves. I think that there's some outside income opportunities that are available to all of us. As long as it's within, you know, again, you can't sacrifice the hand that feeds you. At the end of the day, I have a job to do, and that job's number one. Depending on your situation, you know, again, when you get fired, I've learned this being out, and we've talked about this. When you have one stream of revenue and you lose that revenue, you're at zero.
That's right.
You've got five stream of revenues, and you lose one, you still got four that can help you.
Yep.
That's something that, you know, we're not in a situation where we're getting 5-year multi-million-dollar contracts and then hoping, hoping to get fired in three so
yep.
I can get paid out and get another job and make sure that my agent wrote it in where I don't get
it's guaranteed money.
I got guaranteed cash, so now, I just put 4.5 in the bank, and I'll go get a job making $700, chilling.
Yeah, right.
We're not in that situation.
We're not getting other opportunities now.
So I think that, you know, at the end of the day, you need to have somebody you can rely on from a business standpoint because we're our own worst agents.
Right.
And it sucks that, for the most part, unless you are very experienced and a credible guy with a name,
right.
It would be hard for a Division I AA strength coach to tell his AD, I'd like you to call my agent when my contract's up. I don't know how that's going to go over.
I hear you, man. That's a hard one.
You got to have somebody you can at least call and they can give you the right questions, especially with the way a lot of these contracts are being written. Like I know firsthand, which I won't get into, but you know, I've reviewed kids' contracts that have worked for me, and it's allegedly it's a year contract, but then in the fine print, it's if the head coach gets fired and we want to make a change, you got 30 days.
Yeah, you got a 30-day buyout.
Well, guess what? That's a month-to-month contract.
Yeah, that's right.
That's not a year-to-year.
That's right.
You know, so those are things that you have to understand. And, you know, I laugh when people try to tell you, well, don't sign it. Well, if I don't go, there's 20 other dudes who are taking that job before I can get representation.
That's right.
To get this contract. That's the other thing that – and then that tells you that person doesn't really understand the pressures that we're in. You know, yeah, I'd love to be able to say, hey, can you give me 3 days so that my lawyer can look at it? Or, hey, can your general manager talk to – hey, in college, you ain't getting those opportunities.
No, you're right.
They're in or out. And people got to understand that, man. Those are the things you got to look at. I think you got to look at leap of faith. Sometimes you got to take a leap of faith. And I know you did that in taking your transition from South Florida military to Tennessee. And I took a leap of faith after, you know, I could have stayed at Arizona State. I chose to move on. And,
you know,
and that's where, the grass isn't always greener. I don't regret my move. We didn't win.
Yeah.
If we win, everybody's smiling. But it's just the way it is. And then you ask yourself, like for me, would I be where I'm at today if we don't?
If you didn't make those steps, yeah.
Yeah, we don't. If we won at Louisville, where would I be? Would I still be at Louisville or would I be here? I mean, at the end of the day, I really enjoyed Louisville. I enjoyed the people I work with, but this is a pretty good gig.
No doubt. Well, it all comes full circle, man. And by, you know, working hard, caring about your players, studying, being a lifelong learner, which I know you are, that all comes back and it puts you in the spots that you're at. And I'm just fortunate to have had opportunities to learn from you, and I know everybody else is as well, man. So I appreciate you being on the show, brother. I really do.
Yeah, we put in some time.
Yeah, we're a little over the 30 minutes, right?
Yeah, sometimes that happens.
That's good. Hey, man, I love it, though. I love it. I do. And I know
I appreciate you having me. And, you know, for everybody who's listening, the one thing I'll leave you with is, regardless of anything, don't change who you are. Like I tell people that work for me all the time, man, I'm an asshole. I am. My wife will tell you. My mom will tell you. I will tell you. My sister will tell you. My boys will tell you. It's just the way I am. I don't make sugarcoat anything. Being an asshole got me where I am.
Right.
Some, you know, like my son goes, my oldest son always used to go, I'm an asshole like you, Dad, but at least I got some humor to me. You're just grumpy old ass. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. And be committed. I mean, be committed to your trade.
I agree 100%.
Don't tell me I want to be the best, but then you don't put in the best effort. And I don't know what the best is, you know, but it's like I tell my guys, oh, House, I want to do this. Well, guess what? What are you doing about it? Because I know what I can do for you. What are you going to do for yourself? That's what you got to ask yourself every day. When you wake up, what are you going to do for yourself? And I tell people, I wake up every day, I think about my family, and then, one, I got the best job in the world, and I'm the best coach in the building. That's how I go to work every day.
That's awesome.
And I hope that every single coach that walks in the building thinks the same thing, because if they do, and the players – and everybody else does, we're going to have a good run. But I'm not worried about, hey, if I don't win this year, I'm getting fired. I don't control that. I control when I wake up, I got the best job in America, and I'm the best coach in the building. I control that.
I agree.
I don't control at the end of the day if we go 7-9, whether or not the GM says I'm retained or not. That's out of my control.
That's right.
I don't control, you know, the AD saying, hey, we love what you do. We're making a change. I've told the head football coach I'd like for you to stay, but it's his decision.
Right.
Okay. I get it. But I know this.
You control your attitude.
I can leave with my head held high even when they give me my walking papers, because I know and the players know. And that's what you gotta worry about, man. I used to worry about, oh, get your name in the paper. And you know what I worry about now is do those guys in the locker room know I'm doing a good job?
Yep.
Do they respect what we're trying to do?
100%.
I don't want my name in the paper. I've done that, man, and I just don't, man. I want to be like the invisible guy. I like talking. I like doing this kind of stuff. And get, like you said, I love presenting. I think I've got something to say to the younger strength coach, whether it has something to do specifically on programming or just like being a coach.
Right.
You know, don't be afraid to step out there and be somebody. Like I didn't say I'm going to do this tier system because I want to be the next Boyd Epley. I did the tier system because I thought it was going to be the best program for my kids.
Right.
And I guess a lot of other people have the fan base is it's worldwide, which you talk about being humbled. I would have never ever have thought. I mean, my website sells books, and several other websites sell a book for me. Amazon. I mean, it's just I'm like, man, this book is 10 years old now, and it still has merit. So that tells you again, it has substance, which means back to what I said. Resiliency and reliability. That's what you want, regardless of how you write your program. I don't care if you train a dude one day a week with push-ups and sit-ups. Does it have resiliency and reliability? That is my two big things right now. And growth.
That's great, man. That's great. It's a great spot to end it on, brother. I appreciate you coming on, man, and thanks for taking so much, you know, of your day. And I know you had to work some things to get it done today. So
I had a great day today, man.
It's awesome.
Learn how to clean. I got some really good training throws in and weight for distance. My hammer was off. Got my hair cut, and now I got to pack up and head to my favorite city.
That's awesome, man. Well, have a great time. Appreciate you coming on, brother.
You got it.
Okay, guys, that wraps up a marathon episode with Joe Kinn. Joe, truly appreciate you being on the show, man, and know that everybody had some great takeaways from that. Make sure you head over to the new look, redesigned, ronmckeefrey.com, and click on the episode so that you can get to all the show notes, including any links that Joe or I mentioned in the episode. So make sure you check back regularly for any updated information, as well as the new segment, Tribe TV, where I have several of the coaches that have worked for me adding short video posts. With little nuggets that you can take away each week. So check back next week for a new episode and another great strength coach on Iron Game Chalk Talk. Have a great week.